Blog Talk Radio.
Prizes than anyone else on the planet. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Monday, February the 6th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro. Nurturing life. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today. I know it's Monday, it's a Monday, but hey, as we tell you here on this radio show, if you can tune in daily, Monday through Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're guarantee you a few laughs and some education and really a fun time, make your day go by faster, which can only mean one thing. Friday will be here before you know it, I guarantee it. And then a Friday, of course, being Fun Friday, we give tons of prizes away from all of our sponsors. So, yep, Friday will be here before you know it. I hope you all had an absolutely fabulous weekend as we start the week out together here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It was a good one for us. I got some very exciting news. Many of you know that after moving from the big city of Atlanta, even though we had, again, a nice little homestead there, that was visited by many across the country about how it could truly be done on a small lot. We moved out to our little old homestead, we call it, old farmhouse built in 1900, and started our own little homestead down here. And I found out over the weekend, very exciting news, that the local Piggly Wiggly grocery store, and everybody gets a chuckle when you say Piggly Wiggly, they are interested in buying our crops and our produce that we're producing. So very, very excited about that. In fact, we'll be harvesting what's really a lot of what's left of our fall garden. In fact, here in South Georgia, I think yesterday, day before, it was 76 degrees first week of February. So literally year-round gardening down here, which we absolutely love. But we have a good bit of carrots left, some rutabagas, and some turnip root. So we're going to be harvesting a little bit about that after the show, taking it in there to Piggly Wiggly. And I'm really proud that our produce is going to be being bought there in the Piggly Wiggly. As you walk through the produce department, hey, there it is, Chicken Whisperer Farms. So really, really looking forward to that, kind of excited about that. And then my tractor's in the shop, as many of you know, and so hopefully when we return from Nashville, we'll talk about what we're doing up there as the Chicken Whisperer show goes on the road again. And but when I get my tractor back, I we're already running a little bit late, but we've got to get the onions in the ground and the potatoes in the ground, and then we can actually go ahead and get really a whole nother almost fall crop in as well, early spring, the broccoli, the cauliflower, some carrots, some more greens, maybe some beets, and get those in and back out of the ground, especially now with Piggly Wiggly wanting to buy and purchase our produce before the big planting. And I say big planting season. Everybody loves those late spring gardens where you got tomatoes and okra and corn and watermelon and cantaloupe and cucumber and squash. And that's what I'm really looking forward to coming up here when we plant in late March, early April. But we should still be able to. I'd probably be out there today getting all that in the ground and for the early spring garden if I had my tractor here. But it needs some hydraulic work and a new radiator put in it. So trying to get it geared up for this year. And I can almost kind of justify the expense now of what they told me it would be now that I've got Piggly Wiggly interested in purchasing some of our crops for the season. So I'm very excited about that. So that was that was a fun weekend. Didn't watch the Super Bowl, as many of you know. No TV here, and so really stay too busy to watch the boob tube. So I think I saw where on the news where the Giants won. So maybe that was your team, maybe not. But maybe you had fun watching the game. And we have a little in our Chickens in the News segment a little bit later in the show. We will be talking a little bit about how many chickens' wings were actually consumed. I'll just go ahead and give you the number now. National Chicken Council, I think it was, estimated that 1.25 billion, with a B as in boy, 1.25 billion chicken wings were consumed over the weekend. So how many chickens is that? You can do the math. So maybe you like it, maybe you don't, but we have all listeners of this radio show. We got people that have pet chickens and they're named in their backyard and they still buy their chicken at the Piggly Wiggly. We have people that have chickens that wouldn't even think about eating chicken ever again because they're vegetarians, maybe they're vegans. We've got, again, the big commercial farmers listen to the show. So we try to just educate you on from the experts on this radio show, and then you can take that information with you and then do what you like. But a great weekend here on the homestead. Let me kind of give you an update. We had an awesome show on Friday. We had a member of the Georgia House of Representatives here, and we were all talking about that new Right to Grow Act, which could be set a precedence across the country. If we can get that done here in Georgia, that law would basically supersede any local laws preventing you from raising food for your family, which would include rabbits, chickens, and gardens, even if your local ordinance. Now, if you live in a homeowners association, too bad for you. But if you live in any unincorporated city, town, or unincorporated part of the county, then it says you can't have them. This law passed here this year would supersede that. No one could tell you how to feed your family from your property. And we're really, really working hard with that and pushing that here in the Georgia legislature. So, but Friday's show, my point here was it was such an awesome show. We had such awesome guests. Yours truly forgot to issue the secret password for our chicken coop contest that's going on right now. So let me go ahead and give that to you. This is not today's password, even though we did post it on Facebook. So a lot of people were happy about that. But Friday's secret password for the chicken coop contest was egg. So Friday's secret password was, of course, egg. So I wanted to give that to you since it wasn't announced during the show because it was an awesome show and we were so focused on getting talking to our guest about the House Bill 853. So once more, Friday's secret password was egg, and it was posted on our Facebook and Twitter page. Sometime during the show today, we will issue another secret password to all of you and, of course, post that on our Facebook page. What do these passwords mean? We're right smack dab in the middle of our February chicken coop contest. We've given away more chicken coops than anybody on the planet. And thanks to our great sponsor, My Pet Chicken, they're giving us another chicken coop to give away here on the radio show, valued at about $400 plus shipping to your location, which is probably an additional $200 to $250, so a $650 value. The contest is going to run through the month of February. We only issue passwords during the week on the radio show, Monday through Friday. And I believe from the dates that we assign this contest, we will have 20 secret passwords. And then on the 29th of February, the correct caller that can recite all the secret passwords, guess what? You're going to win that awesome chicken coop from My Pet Chicken. So daily on the radio show, we issue a password, and then, of course, we post it on Facebook and Twitter so all of those folks can participate in the contest as well. But you will have to call in the day of the contest to try to win that awesome chicken coop that we've got from our sponsor. So we've got that going on. But I wanted to announce that secret password for Friday. And again, sometime during the show today, we'll also have a secret password announced. So also looking at kind of throughout the day, tomorrow, we welcome the first Tuesday of every month. We'll welcome, as always, world-renowned heritage chef Steve Pope. He's going to be here tomorrow, as always, first Tuesday of the month, and he'll be sharing something about, again, cooking, possibly about using heritage breeds. You love his show. And he'll be on tomorrow, Steve Pope, world-renowned heritage chef. Wednesday, there will be no show. I will be on the road a little bit, so no show this coming Wednesday. Thursday, we've got Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, will be here. It was his assigned day. And then, of course, Friday will be another awesome, fun Friday with lots of prizes. So we've got a great week lined up. Hope you enjoyed last week's lineup with poultry scientist Dr. McCray and GardenWise Living with Arlena. And see, the following Tuesday, let's see, we're going to have the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy on. So, and you can go to our website, chickenwhisperer.com, and see all of our regularly scheduled guests Monday through Friday here on the show. And just remember, like we always say, get a spiral notebook, put a big CW on it, and have it open during our radio show because lots of people around the country. In fact, around the world, I see Andreas is in the chat room again today. Andreas listens live daily from Norway, one of our many thousands of listeners that listen from around the world. So, Andreas, welcome again from Norway. Hope everything's treating you well over there across the pond. And so I appreciate that. So, again, thank you very much for listening. Chat room's filling up as always. We got Allison in there, Andreas, Bard Rock. We've got Chad, Critter Lover, East Dallas Dave. Many, many guests. I want to tell you, so glad to have you on the show today. Thank you for listening. You may be a first-time listener, and we appreciate that. If you would, at the bottom of the chat room, there's a little button that says Register Now. You can register with Blog Talk Radio and get your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on into the chat room, sit a spell, make some great friends, and they can tell you, all of our regular listeners that are capable of the chat room. We have a lot of listeners that listen on iTunes, podcast.com, Zoom.com. They can't participate in the chat room daily, or they're listening live right now, and their work IT department won't let them chat. They've got it shut down. We had a lot of listeners that said, you know what, my IT department shut the chat down. I can still listen live, but I can't chat. So take a moment to register and come on in and join us. We've got Kevin out in California. We've got Ken. We've got Poet's Wife up in Tennessee, Rhode Island Ruby in California, Super Grover in Kansas. We've got Trish. Sorry, Trish, don't remember where you're from. We've got Vanessa. Walter is up in Connecticut. And Woodcutter Ron is in Georgia. So as you can see, listeners from all over the country. Got a great show lined up for you today. We've got, of course, Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, who's going to be joining us. He joins us every single Monday, and he not only answers your calls and questions, which is great, but he also has topics. Now, last Monday, we talked about internal parasites, specifically, I believe it was roundworm. And so we're going to continue talking today also about internal parasites as well. Now, what we normally do is do the topic first, and then we take questions towards the end after the topic, because people sometimes on the East Coast may have lunch from 12 to 1, and they want to get that topic in and get educated on that topic first. So we try to have the topic first, and as soon as we bring on Peter Brown here in just a moment, when he calls into the switchboard, we'll get him on live. There may be one caller we want to take that was in queue earlier, I believe, and she may or may not have access to a phone. If not, we'll read the question to Peter, because I know she's listening, and get that information for that caller. So we've got Peter Brown on today, and he'll be calling in shortly to talk all about internal parasites. So we've got that going on. Let's see. And again, a little bit later in the show, we'll have chickens in the news, and we've got that going on. So I'm trying to think if there's any other announcements real quick. Pat, my co-host Pat, was unable to attend today. I believe she's heading to Washington, D.C. for some meetings, which is fabulous for her. So she's on the road, and I believe she'll be available, I want to say, for Tuesday's show. I think Wednesday and Thursday she may be in the pharmacy. But anyway, if you were curious, hey, where's Pat? She has started pulling some days in the pharmacy. She is a pharmacist, and then she's busy. In fact, she was just on a West Coast book tour out in California. So she was busy with that. And while I'm waiting for the switchboard and waiting for the doctor, or Peter Brown to call in the chicken doctor, I'll tell you a little bit about my travel schedule as well coming up. Not this coming weekend, but the following weekend, we'll be heading back up to Nashville. We were up there in Nashville back in January, helping the great folks of UCAN and the Nashville Backyard Poultry Meetup Group. They've been working hard for 2 years to get chickens legal in Nashville. And, of course, I went up, spoke to the city council, and talked with all the great folks up there. And we had a live radio show at a co-op and whatnot. Well, chickens, guess what? They were passed in Nashville on the 17th of January, and so they've invited me back. So we're heading back on the road again, heading back up to Nashville, Tennessee. We'll do a live radio show broadcast, live on location, from the Davidson Farmers Co-op. That'll be on, February the 18th, Saturday, February the 18th. Come on out, the Davidson Farmers Co-op on Dickerson Pike, right across from the new Walmart. They tell me to say that, and so people know exactly where they're at. And we'll have a live radio broadcast from 10 to 11 on Saturday, February 18th. And then we're going to have a Getting Started with Backyard Poultry workshop, taught, of course, by yours truly. We've already got 50 people signed up for that. I got an email this morning. Already got 50 people showing up for that. And we're in the process of actually scheduling an overflow class for Sunday. So that's going to be fabulous. 50 people there for the Saturday class. We'll probably get another 50 in for the Sunday class. We're just trying to find a location to hold that, because the co-op is closed on Sunday. So we've got that coming up. The weekend after that, I'll be up in Atlanta for the City Chicks, Chickens in the City, Chicken Symposium. The Chicken Symposium is going to be there. That attracts maybe 150 people, maybe 200. We got a bigger location today, and they're going to have classes all day long from basically 9 a.m., I think, to 3 or 4 p.m., hourly classes on all kinds of different topics. I'll be speaking at that event in Atlanta, the Chick Symposium. The weekend after that, I believe I'll be heading up to North Carolina. I believe it's the Town and Country Feed and Seed Store up there in Hayesville, North Carolina. And we'll be going up there doing the same thing, doing a live radio show live on location and then having a Getting Started with Backyard Poultry Workshop. We've got that in North Carolina. And then we've got another event in Georgia in the city of Fitzgerald. It's the Wild Chicken Festival. Again, a live radio show. And doing a book signing there as well, so you can bring your book or buy a book there and get yours truly to autograph that for you. So again, the Chicken Whisperer Tour continues, traveling all over the country, spreading the chicken love. So alrighty, let me get back over here. Let me make a phone call here, because I don't see, normally he is on the ball, and I'm going to mute myself here for a second and see if I can't get Peter Brown on the old cell phone. I don't see where he's called in on the switchboard, so give me a second. There might, you know what, we'll just go to commercial break real quick while I try to get him on the line, and we'll be back right after this short break.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Alrighty, sorry about that unscheduled little commercial break there, but still waiting on Peter Brown, a.k.a. the Chicken Doctor, to call in. He is with us every single Monday. And that is his assigned time. So I just gave him a call, left a message on his voicemail. He may actually be on a consultation right now that ran over, because he does have that consultation program. If you have any issues, you can do that. He may be, who knows, talking with a sales rep. He does also the founder and owner of First State Vet Supply. .com, firststatevetsupply.com. So I'll continue to monitor the switchboard to see when he calls in, and we'll get on to our topic and taking some phone calls as well. Until then, we might have, because I don't know how long or how delayed he'll be, we can go ahead and, of course, have a contest. So, of course, as you know, Mondays are brought to you by Crazy K Farm, and we've got a hen saver hen apron to give away. Normally we do this at the very end of the show when we give away prizes, and but since we're a little bit delayed with Peter coming on the show today, we'll go ahead and have some fun and have a chicken trivia contest, if you will. I'll just have to think of a question off the top of my head, because I was going to wait and do a little research and get that question on a little later in the show. But let me tell you how this works. If you're a first-time listener and want to try to take a chance at winning one of our great prizes, again today, Hen Saver Hen Apron, we're going to ask a trivia question. It may be a riddle. It may be a joke. And then if you want to attempt to answer that question, then you give us a call, 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. If you're the right caller, we'll bring you live on the radio show. And then, of course, you can give us your answer. If you're the right answer, you win the prize. If not, well, then let's see. If you don't, let me see what we can do. If you happen not to answer correctly, then I don't know. You might hear something like, let's see, this. And, of course, if you answer something wrong, you might hear something like,
la, 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 la.
But nonetheless, we'll have some fun, and you'll have a chance to win a prize. Of course, when Peter comes on today, he always has a nice riddle based on a disease. And if you can name that disease, then you'll win a prize from First State Vet Supply as well. So we've got that going on as well. So I think, hang on, I think we may have a question here. So stand by. Let me see if I can pull it up and see if this will be a good appropriate one for the radio show. Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. We'll do this. Some of you may know this. Some of you may be able to look it up. And, of course, a lot of times doing our a lot of times during our contest, I think that Google and Yahoo and WebCrawler, they're like, how come every day around the 12 o'clock hour we get tons of searches about chicken-related things? Why is that? Because everybody's trying to find the answer. Okay, here we go. Here's the question. We're going to take caller. God, we have a call bank of up to 50 callers. So let me see. We'll just take caller number six. We'll take caller number six today. Caller number six at 347-637-3237. Again, that's a number. It never changes. Write it down. 347-637-3237. Call number six for your chance to win a Hen Saver Hen Apron. If six doesn't know the answer, we go to caller seven, caller eight, caller nine, and so on. Here's the question. There is a city in Georgia where there is currently law on the books that state it is illegal to eat chicken with a fork. What's the name of that city? Okay. There is currently, I'll repeat the question, there is currently a city in Georgia where it is law, and law is on the books, where it is illegal, or against the law, I should say, to eat chicken with a fork. Name that town. I have confirmed this. It's a pretty famous city known for its known for its commercial farming. And I couldn't tell you exactly how long that law's been on the books, but Dave was like, Red Neckerson, Georgia. No, it's not Red Neckerson, Georgia, but you're close. But it is in Georgia. There is a city in Georgia where it is illegal to eat chicken with a fork. Super Grover says, can you marry your cousin in that town? You can't marry your cousin, but I think it's okay to marry your brother or sister, Grover, Super Grover. So, oh my goodness, how cool is that? Yeah, Vanessa's like, hey, talk about too much government. Lots of comments in the chat room. Let's get over here to the switchboard, and we'll see. Take your chances now. Come on, 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. There's a city in Georgia where it's illegal to eat chicken with a fork. Name that city. 347-637-3237. You can probably Google that and get the answer. Oh, my goodness. Here, let me update this here and see. 347-637-3237. There's a city in Georgia where it's illegal to eat chicken with a fork. All right, I was trying to call Peter Brown, and now I get a busy signal, so he may be trying to call in as well. Super Grover says, I only know about four places in Georgia. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yep, and one of them is ideal. Yep, you stopped by when you were on the road, Grover. It was nice to meet you. It's always great. It's one of the great things about taking this radio show on the road is that it's very, very fun.
And we enjoy doing that and meeting all of our listeners and fans across the country. So, again, I apologize about the delay. Normally around 12:15 of the radio show, we bring on our guest, and we get right to our topic. But for some reason today, something's up. I'm getting a little worried about Peter and the chicken doctor. Let's see what we got here. Trying to look to see if he's there. Still don't see. Let's see. Maybe let's see what we got here. Hey, Peter, is that you? Okay, we're trying to switch board over here. So, all right, I'm going to ask one more time, 347-637-3237, caller number 6. There is currently a city in the state of Georgia where it's illegal to eat chicken with a fork. We're going to take caller number 6 as the switchboard starts to light up like a Christmas tree from people who did a little Google or Yahoo search. And they know the answer, so we'll just go ahead and do that and head on over here to the phone lines. All righty, caller calling in from area code 940-940. You're live on the air. State your name and tell us what state you're calling from, please.
Allison Patrick in Texas.
Allison in Texas. Thank you very much for listening out there in the Lone Star State. Okay, obviously the information is out there, I'm guessing, on the internet. What city in the state of Georgia is it illegal to eat chicken with a fork? Now, this is for a hen saver, hen apron. What say you?
Gainesville.
Gainesville. Yeah, you said it just like say it. Gainesville. You're exactly right. Gainesville, Georgia. Oh, my goodness. Have you ever been to Gainesville?
No, but I used to live in Albany.
Oh, no, no, you're still saying Albany. It wrong. It's Albany.
Oh, is it?
It's Albany.
Well, see, I got a lot of trouble whenever I moved back to Texas and I said pecan, because we say pecan here. So.
Yeah, pecan, pecan, tomato, tomato, yeah, taters, yep. Or potatoes, or... Absolutely. You are correct. It is Gainesville, Gainesville, Georgia, and where it is illegal to eat chicken with a fork. And if you don't know the drill there out in Texas, to claim your prize, you got to send me an email. Just send it over to chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. That's chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. And in the subject matter, subject line of the email, put hen saver. Hen saver, hen apron, and then within the email, I need your name, your shipping address, phone number, and an email. So I need your shipping address, your name, shipping address, phone number, and an email. So we can get that over to Toby at Crazy K Farm, and you're going to win that awesome hen saver, hen apron. Thank you very much for listening and tuning in out there in Texas. We appreciate you. So very good. Alrighty, I'm still looking. Let's see here. I still don't see the number for Peter. So now I'm actually getting worried because he's here normally very early every single Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I'm not sure if, again, business comes first. So he may be on a business call or a purchase call or a sales meeting. So I'm going to try one more time and see if we can't get Peter on the phone. So stand by. Okay, left a voicemail. Let me see. I don't think... Peter, is that you? Hey, Peter.
Me?
Yep, no, I don't see. Oh, sorry about that. Wrong area code. So, interesting. And so, normally I have Peter give a call. Maybe he's calling in from a different phone. Hey, Peter, you're live on the air. Peter, is this you? Interesting. I pretty much know his area code. So when he calls in fact, I got his riddle. In fact, we have a riddle. I can share that with you, of course, today. Let's see what we got here. Okay, hang on a minute. Just a second. Let me go over here. I've got the riddle for today. And let me get down here to what where he sent me that. It's in my email. And hang on just a second. Sorry about the delay, folks. Every now and then this happens. Live radio, can't do much about it. Just getting a little concerned. So let me get over here to my email, and I can go ahead and read you today's riddle. Here is the riddle for tomorrow. So I know that Peter knows he should be on today. He sent this yesterday out, and let's see what we got. Here we go. And so give you a little heads up for if Peter comes on a little bit later, we'll have a riddle based on a disease, and you might be able to win another great prize from First State Vet Supply. When you look at my face, you might think I have been in a fight, but Rocky Balboa, I did not fight. Some folks think that I am just a cold, but that worn-out story is really getting old. While I may choke and sneeze as I have this disease, a good antibiotic will put us all at ease. I may carry you with me throughout my life, but then again, you might just take a hike. What disease am I? And I'll repeat that here. When you look at my face, you might think I have been in a fight, but Rocky Balboa, I did not fight. Some folks think that I am just a cold, but that worn-out story is really getting old. While I may choke and sneeze as I have this disease, a good antibiotic will put us all at ease. I may carry you with me throughout my life, but then again, you might just take a hike. What disease am I? So we've got that coming on here a little bit later, and we'll repeat that when we get a little bit closer to the time to actually do that. Just got an email from Allison. Got your email regarding the Hen Saver, and we appreciate that. So let me get back over here. Again, I'm just getting kind of concerned. Peter's my buddy, and it's just not like him because he's been coming on the show for months now every single Monday. And give me just a second here. I'm going to check one more thing. Yeah, interesting. So I'm going to try to give him a ring one more time. Checking my email. I don't see any updated emails. And I know he was coming on today because he even sent me the riddle. But something may have come up, and that's a little concerning. So, but I understand business comes first. He might be closing a big deal for his business, or again, he might be on a consultation. He does do that consultation, or it may just be something with our switchboard. Let's see. Peter, is that you? Peter Brown? Interesting. Okay. Let me try one more time, folks, and then we'll get on. We'll have a topic today for sure. We'll just pull one out of our ear and be talking about that. But give me one more chance. I'm more concerned about anything about Peter to make sure nothing serious has happened. And so give me one more second. There'll be a little dead air time, and then I'll try to give Peter a call on the cell off the air. And just stand by. We'll be back right after this. All righty, I still get his voicemail. Thanks for hanging on. Sorry a little bit about the dead air. So the disease is Marine Corps boot camp. Very funny. Very funny, Walter. So let's see. Here we go. So very good in the chat room. I appreciate that. Again, I sincerely apologize, folks, because and I'm very, very concerned, deeply concerned, because Peter, this is not like Peter at all. Y'all know Peter. Many of you have used his services before. Y'all have used his consultation services before, and y'all love his show. It's one of our most popular episodes of the week, every Monday, when Peter comes on, again, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply. And he is like clockwork, and he comes on. He loves the show. In fact, his daughter was telling me how much he loved doing the show, and how she could even tell just with his if she talks to him after doing the show, he's kind of upbeat and happy and really enjoying doing it. So I'm again probably just a little personally concerned about that, because this is definitely not like him. He's missed one show in the history that he's been coming on, and the issue was that was you know, he was in a very bad car accident back in, I believe, was it November? October, November, and somebody went across the center line. It was snowing and hit him head on, and he had some pretty severe injuries. And so the only show that he missed was after that, and he was more stabilized and all, that he had a doctor's appointment, and they called that morning and said, hey, we can get you in right now. It's a follow-up of some kind for something, and he had to run and do that then. It was the only opportunity other than waiting 6 weeks out. So that was the only show that he's missed. And so ever, so that makes it a little bit more concerning of why he hasn't called in. So interesting. Well, let's see. We can. The show must go on, as always. There's enough folks in the chat room to obviously carry on a topic, and of course, with my book out, I've got a little bit of education about keeping backyard poultry as well. So with spring coming, and actually a lot of people are starting to order their chicks, we can talk a little bit about what you're going to need when your chicks actually come home. So let's see. Poet's Wife just posted in the chat room, last week Peter was thrilled when a caller reported success after following his advice. It was wonderful to hear him so happy. Yeah, absolutely. It was great. And in fact, he's helping. And in fact, Poet's Wife, you know, Allison Dobbs up there in Nashville, she had a sick chicken. Actually, I believe it was Saturday morning, I think, either Friday or Saturday morning. I got her in contact with Peter, and she had lost a bird maybe 2 weeks ago, had another sick one as well. She was very upset, and I got an email from Peter over the weekend saying that they've made contact to talk to Allison, and the bird has improved based on following his advice, and is really improving and starting to eat on its own now, and they got some medication in her, and she was really thrilled. So he's yeah, so many of our regular listeners know the advice that he gives is just point blank right on. And whether it be on the air or off the air. So, yep, you're absolutely right. So we can talk a little bit about brooding today, which is fine. I'll continue to monitor the switchboard to see if Peter calls in, or maybe gives us a call from his cell and lets us know where he's at, or if he's in a meeting, or what the case may be. So, and I'll be concerned until I do hear about him. So we'll continue and talk about brooding. And I'll monitor the switchboard to see if he may call in during the rest of the show. So we hope he will. So what is a brooder? Let's talk about brooding. A brooder really is the baby chick's home for the first 6 weeks of its life, depending on the weather outside and the temperature. Okay, if you allow your mama hens to actually hatch out the baby chicks year round, I mean, it could be 14 degrees outside, and that mama hen is going to take care, very good care, I might add, of those baby chicks, even if it's 14 degrees outside. They have for thousands of years, and they'll continue to do so. So a brooder may not be necessary if you are allowing, sorry. I love the folks in the chat room. It says, maybe Peter Brown will give us a call from his cell. I was thinking, who's going to put up his bail money? That was from Critter Lover in the chat room. I don't think Peter would do anything to get himself landed in jail, but, you know, you never know. But, yeah, give us a call from your cell phone, Peter. We'll collect your bail money for you, my man. So no problems there. But the brooder is going to be your baby chick's home for the first roughly six weeks until they're pretty much feathered out. So let's talk about what you possibly could use as a brooder. And again, keeping mind of the fire hazard when we talk about the heat source of any type of brooder. But I have gotten started, many people started for many, many years, probably a decade of getting people started with backyard chickens. We've gotten them started using a basic Rubbermaid bin, a Rubbermaid, pretty much a kind of Rubbermaid plastic bin. You can buy these at your big stores. I'll just say at your Walmarts, even your Lowe's, Target, Home Depot, and some of your other stores. But the one that I really recommend that's been working really, really good is kind of an elongated 45-gallon Rubbermaid bin. And we like it to be kind of elongated because what we recommend do is you put that heat lamp, and at that age, if you're raising chicks on your own, heat lamp, though a fire hazard, is necessary. Again, many of you know my point and my recommendation for heaters in coops with full-grown birds. But since we're talking about brooders, you've just received your chicks from whatever hatchery you purchased them from, or maybe from a breeder, and you've got this long 45-gallon Rubbermaid bin, we're going to clamp that heat lamp to one end of the Rubbermaid bin. And I actually am going to duct tape it as well. We want to eliminate every possible way any type of fire. Every year we report, even with brooders, house burned to the ground. Last year, house burned to the ground because they were raising some baby chicks and had a brooder lamp fall into the brooder, and it actually burned down the whole house. So, 45-gallon Rubbermaid bin, we clamp the heat light on one end of it, and then we'll duct tape that to the Rubbermaid bin. Do everything you can to try to secure that best as possible. Okay. So let's talk about the heat source, the bulb itself. Now, you'll see on a lot of forums out there that people will recommend using a red heat lamp, okay, versus maybe a clear. Okay, I've used both, and here's the key. You may see some out there and some information that a red bulb might eliminate picking and pecking of the baby chicks. And I'm not going to discount that information, but I have also said many times that you really have to distinguish between information that is used on the commercial industry versus the backyard industry. If you have plenty of space for your chicks, picking and pecking is not going to be a problem. If you put 50 chicks in that Rubbermaid bin, you probably want to consider getting a red heat lamp, which if studies show may reduce pecking and picking, then you might want to get a red heat lamp if you got 50 chicks in that little Rubbermaid bin. But if you got 6, 7, or 8, then that's not going to be necessary. In fact, the majority of all of my bulbs are clear. And you can start off with a 125-watt heat lamp bulb if you choose to. Now, why are we actually clamping that to the far end? Because we want to allow those baby chicks to self-regulate. We want those baby chicks to be able to move a little closer to the heat lamp if they're cold, or we want them to move a little bit further away from the heat lamp if they are hot. People often talk about with a brooder having a thermometer around. That's perfectly fine. I don't have a problem with anybody wanting to put a thermometer inside their brooder. Where do you want to place it? At the chick's level. Not up where it's easy to read, up by the edge. And certainly not up by the heat lamp. So basically down there at the chicks level, so you get an idea of what the temperature is for those baby chicks. The key there is to just watch your baby chicks. They'll tell you exactly what you need to do. If they are all huddled up under that heat lamp, then maybe your brooder's out in the garage and it's not temperature controlled. You may want to change that bulb out to a 250-watt heat bulb instead of the 125. If they are all over in the back corner, far, 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 far away from that heat source, that heat lamp, well, then 125 may even be too much. You may want to take that out and possibly even use, say, 100 or 125 watt, 150 watt, just a simple bulb versus a heat lamp bulb. But watch your chicks. They'll tell you exactly how they're feeling, exactly what's making them happy, also on their noise level. If they're very, very loud and all huddled together, they are cold and they are letting you know it. You know, if they're just kind of spaced out, you've got one or two under the heat lamp sitting there taking a snooze, you've got a couple over in the corner, far corner, and you've got kind of sporadic space chicks all over, then guess what? They are happy little chicks. And that's what you want to look for. So I don't personally use a thermometer in my brooder because I want to monitor and do what my chicks want me to do. It's kind of like back when I was a paramedic. I have all this diagnostic equipment in the back of my ambulance, but I'm treating my patient, not the equipment. The equipment tells me what's going on with my patient. So kind of the same thing. I want to watch my chicks and let them tell me kind of what's going on with them and what I need to do to make them happy. So the heat source, again, possibly a 125-watt heat bulb, maybe a 250, but depending on if your brooder is in an area that's not temperature-controlled. For example, you've got your brooder out in the sunroom, and it's not out in a back work shed or in a garage or in a carport that doesn't have any kind of control over the temperature. 125-watt I would start with, 125-watt heat bulb. If it's out in a work shed, it's not insulated very well, maybe it's in your garage, it has no heat or air, then it's the middle of winter, then you might want to try a 250. And if you want to have two bulbs for that particular purpose, maybe it's kind of the end of winter but coming into spring, and you go ahead and pop for that $6 bulbs and get that 125 and the 250. So as you start in the winter time or late winter, you'll have that 250 if you need it, and as they get a little bit older, start feathering out, you can drop it down to the 125. Now, you'll see a lot of this on forums as well, and it kind of makes me cringe sometimes. You'll see, you want your brooder, and they won't specify, they'll say, you want your brooder to be the first week 90 degrees, and then you want to decrease the temperature 5 degrees each week. I guess that's a good tool, but what they don't specify is, no, that's not correct. You don't want your entire brooder 90 degrees. You would like, in a perfect world, to have an area of the brooder at 90 degrees. So you still have the opportunity to have those chicks self-regulate based on their comfort level. It's just like, you know, me and my wife. I'm hot-natured, and I may be burning up, and she may be freezing. Same thing with the baby chicks. So if you have your entire brooder at 90 degrees, you're going to have some chicks that are probably unhappy. So you have to, you know, kind of dissect that when you see that on the forums out there. 90 degrees the first week, 5 degrees each week after that until they're feathered out and ready to go outside. It's not bad information. It just could be a little bit more correct, an area of your brooder to be maybe around 90 degrees. And then kind of reduce it 5 degrees each week. And you can do that by changing bulbs. You can lift the heat lamp up a little bit, maybe hang it with a chain. But again, be careful with that heat source. So you have to sometimes address that, just like with the red bulb versus the clear bulb and the 90 degrees. You have to, again, take what you find out there on those forums with a grain of salt and then apply it to kind of your particular situation. And so that's the issue with the heat lamp there and the temperature. So, also, let's talk a little bit about bedding for your brooder. We've talked about a brooder the self. I've seen a lot of people use cardboard boxes for brooders, and that's okay, but that can be a fire hazard as well. You just want to be careful if you use a cardboard box. You see a lot of pictures out there of the cardboard boxes. There's some brooder kits you can get online, which look to be pretty fabulous. They include everything pretty much you're going to need for a brooder. But you can accommodate and see what you have around the house. It doesn't have to be exact rocket scientist, but for about $15, getting one of those Rubbermaid bins, you can wash it out, you can sanitize it very easily when you're done, you can put all your brooder equipment in it and then put it in the attic, and it'll be fine for next year and the year after and the year after and the year after with one $15 purchase. And it's easy to clean out with Oxine or even the Clorox in the water mixture or whatever you have. So it's good. You can take it out even in the backyard and and just hose it out real good. So we've come to like those very much so. Again, talked about the heat source, talked about the bulbs, talked about securing that heat source for a fire hazard. Let's talk a little bit about bedding, okay? Again, you'll see a lot of misinformation out there in the forums, so let me kind of just clear some things up for you, okay? We recommend, okay, not to ever use cedar shavings with your baby chicks. Bottom line. Now, I'm going to kind of explain why and use some factual information about why we don't want to use the cedar shavings, even though there haven't been any official studies about cedar shavings and baby chicks. There have been studies about cedar shavings and other small animals like rodents and guinea pigs and other things like that. So here's the key regarding that, okay? What kind of bedding? Okay, we don't want you to use cedar shavings because some studies have shown, not any with baby chicks, but why take the chance, that, and some people think it's going to mess up their respiratory system because the odor from the cedar shavings is just so strong, it must be a respiratory problem. I'm not discounting that. That strong cedar odor from cedar shavings could have possibly affect the baby chick's respiratory system. But here's the factual information for you if you ever wanted to know, okay? Scientific studies have shown with other small animals and rodents that the cedar shavings, when they released that odor, inside the odor from the cedar shavings is a toxin. And what happens is as the small animal inhales and breathes in that toxin from those cedar shavings, that toxin will get in the liver. The liver will try to filter out that toxin from the animal's bloodstream. And then the animal ends up dying from liver failure versus any respiratory problem that they could possibly have. So the respiratory is kind of the culprit because they're breathing this toxin in. It gets into their bloodstream through the lungs, and then the liver tries to filter out that toxin that's contained in the odor from the cedar shavings, and then they die of liver failure because it's just overworked trying to get that toxin out of the blood. So no studies have been done regarding baby chicks and cedar shavings. But the premise there is, you know, if there are studies out there based on other animals having liver failure and cedar shavings not being real keen or good for them, why even take the chance if we know it's not good for other tiny animals? Think about your baby chicks. They're what, maybe a couple of inches off of those shavings when they're sleeping. They lay their little heads down. You see them, they're under the heat lamp, and their nostrils are right there at the cedar shavings. No, who's going to want to take that chance when there's other and better items that you can use for the bedding of your brooder? So very, very simple. Okay, pine shavings. If my co-host was here, Pat Forman, author of many great, great books, she would also state regarding pine shavings of having an odor and not being all that great for your chicks either. Again, I will use the famous words of our good and regular guest, poultry scientist, Dr. McRae. Show me the proof. Again, show me the proof where pine shavings have any, not even one study has been shown to not be good for baby chicks. Thousands, I would even say millions of people over the years have used plenty of pine shavings for their baby chicks, their adult chicks, the whole nine yards. What's in my coops right now? Pine shavings, okay? I don't have a problem with pine shavings. There may be a better alternative, though. We'll talk about that next. So many, many use pine shavings. And I've found when you go, there's a couple of different types. There's a real fine pine shavings, and there's a more coarse. I choose to use the more coarse pine shavings, even with the baby chicks. I don't want to get them confused. Again, they will, the first day or two of life, confuse the shavings with feed. We'll talk about that here in a minute as well. So you want to make sure. So I've never had a single problem with pine shavings either. Super Grover, he's in the chat room saying he's never had a problem with pine shavings. I'll recommend pine shavings all day long. Now, is there maybe a better, I don't want to say safer because there haven't any been studies regarding pine shavings, so I can't really say safer being factual, but a lot of people now are turning to use aspen shavings. Aspen shavings. They are a little bit more expensive depending on where you buy those. Sometimes they're twice as much. Sometimes they may be 50% as much. But either way, a lot of people, including my co-host, Pat Forman, are now using aspen shavings for their chicks because, again, there are no studies with pine. Some people just feel that they're going to be even safer for the health of our birds than the pine shavings, and definitely better that we assume from the cedar shavings. So that's perfectly fine. I'm going to share you a trick that's in my book about easy cleanup. If you, let's say we're just going to use pine shavings or aspen shavings. When we get that brooder out and we set it up and we first install that heat lamp and get it duct taped down and or maybe hanging from a good strong chain so there's no chance or hardly any chance of having a fire hazard, we want to put the shavings in next. Well, we have learned we can go to the dollar store, we can go to Wally World somewhere and get some cheap poster board. Okay, and it takes about for that 45-gallon Rubbermaid brooder, it'll take exactly 1.5 sheets. And what we'll do is, and my wife does this all the time, she'll fold that one piece of poster board kind of with the sides up a little bit and kind of put it down inside that brooder, lift the sides a little bit, and then cut the corners so that it'll fit very nice, almost like a custom fit in the bottom of that brooder. Take another half a piece, do the same thing, cut it to fit, cut those corners so they'll fold really nice, and then you've got a nice poster board in the bottom of that brooder that comes up on the sides about 3, maybe 4 inches. The corners are nice and cut, so they actually fit in the corners nicely. Once that's in there, and I'll tell you why we do that in a second, then we'll put some shavings down in there, okay? Because cleanup is so much easier. So, and your nose and your eyes will tell you when it's about time to clean the brooder. You may get away with cleaning it about every third day when if you just have 6 in there and they're tiny little day-old chicks. But as they get older, as they get bigger, as they start pooping more and getting a little bit messier with their water, you may have to change it more and more often. And again, your eyes and nose will tell you when you're going to need to change out that brooder. But how easy is it to just lift up that board? Okay, if they haven't soiled it very much, you can kind of empty those shavings out and use that poster board maybe a second time. Put new shavings down, and then maybe the third time actually cut out new poster board. It just works out really well, we found, for us in the times that we've been raising many, many chicks. Time is an issue. And so we do that a lot. And then we'll put the shavings down in there as well. Now, here's a tip I wanted to share about. I mentioned it earlier about the baby chicks kind of not really identifying between what's food and what's shavings. So a lot of people will fail to put in any shavings till about the third day. Here's a trick. If you want to put the shavings down, that's great. But if you have an old burlap sack, this works great as well, you can put the burlap sack over the shavings so they still have some insulation. It's still kind of soft for them and whatnot. And then when you put their feeder in there, they will be able to kind of differentiate between what's feed and what's shavings. Many people probably never have a problem with this. I really haven't had a problem with it. I've started thousands of chicks right there in the shavings with the feed and have had no problems. But if it's just a tip I want to share with you, if you put down that burlap bag over the shavings and then set the feeder and the water in there at least for a couple of 3 days, then they're used to actually let's see. Oh, Dave says regarding the poster board that it's easy to clean. He does that. He says, "Oh, just flip it over. That's what I do with my underwear." See, the chat room folks just crack me up sometimes. It's so fun, the chat room. So glad you've joined us. But so yeah, I guess you could flip that poster board over if you want to, and do it the other way. But that's fine. Super Grover says great idea with the burlap sack. And it's just, again, it may not be necessary, but it is just a kind of a trick of the trade that I like to share with folks when we're talking about brooding. Putting on that burlap sack maybe just for about 2 or 3 days so the birds can actually know what their feed is and what the shavings are. After the second or third day, get the sack out of there. They're in the shavings and they got their feed. No problem whatsoever there. And it's very simple. And burlap sacks are, you know, dime a dozen, so no problem regarding that. Oh, I love the chat room, Chickeneers. How cool is that? Okay, let's see here. Getting back over here to the chat room. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about bedding that you can use. I also, let me give you this because this is new to me. I just saw where there's a company, ready for this? This is very interesting. I'll try to do some more research on this, maybe even have them on as a guest. I just saw where there's a product out now that claims to be non-flammable, and it's rice hulls. How cool is that? And it can be used as bedding in your coop. It can be used as bedding in your brooder. You heard it here first on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's my job to be kind of up on this. So I'm sharing it with you. but I just saw it being advertised. It's a big bag of rice hulls, okay? And it talks about them being flame resistant, flame retardant, or unflammable, depending on what terminology they're going to use for advertising, that could be used for bedding and whatnot. I haven't experienced it. I've got to get some on my way so I can try it. Would that be more like food? Would we really have to say, yes, let's use burlap for 3 days so they can tell between what's, you know, the rice seed hulls, rice hulls, and their starter feed? So I'll have to get some research on that. So hulls. Like peanut hulls. When you're done with the peanut, you got the peanut hulls that are left there on the floor of the stadium when you're done watching the ball game. So not peanut, so not rice hulls like a donut hole, but rice hulls, H-U-L-L-S. There you go, Super Grover, perfect. So I guess it's just my southern accent they're talking about in the chat room. So I'll try to use that, experience that, and then let you know what I think about that. So those are some many options that you can use for the bedding. Now, what I use in that brooder, let's say you have about 6 to 8 baby chicks in that brooder, 45-gallon brooder. You got the heat lamp there on the one end, duct tape down. You've got the cardboard down in there. You've got the poster board. You've got the bedding in there. Let's say we're using pine shavings. And now you've got a feeder and water to deal with. I personally like, in that smaller size, like to use the quart feeders. You see them, they're pretty small. They're about a quart size. They have a little colorful base. Some are yellow, some are blue, some are red, some are green. They got the base and the holes all the way around the base. I like those. I also have no problems if your chickens or your little baby chicks already kind of know the difference between a little bit of feed, sprinkling a little bit on the floor for them to scratch around. But hey, there's my feeder. Set that right down in there. And I would prefer to set the feeder probably on the end with the heat lamp so the water is on the end of the brooder without the heat lamp, so the water stays a little bit cooler and is not under the heat lamp. Then I use a 1-gallon waterer. And your choice based on brand, there's a couple of different brands out there that are good. You can pick and choose which one you want to use, but I'll use a 1-gallon waterer and place it in the opposite end of the heat lamp for the water, and I'll put the food closer to the down there with the heat lamp so the water is away from the heat, and voila. Now, some people don't do this. I am a stickler, and it's just us. I don't make you be a stickler. I don't, you know, I can recommend doing this. There's not that I know of any scientific study that says your birds will be any better or healthier or learn faster, but we're just a stickler about as soon as we get the baby chicks, let's say you do mail order, and you're getting ready to place them in the brooder. Jen and I are both very much sticklers about dipping their beaks in the water and the feed as soon as we place them in the brooder. Okay, we're so much of sticklers. Every year when we do the Chicks for Charity event, in fact, I guess 2 years ago, we gave away over 1,000 baby chicks in Atlanta for our Chicks for Charity event to promote keeping a backyard poultry, and all the proceeds from the donations went to a local charity there in Atlanta. It was an awesome event. Regarding that, so we had, but even then, when we had a big brooder we custom built in our garage, and we had about 700 baby chicks in this huge brooder. It took about half of our garage. Okay, we had about 700 baby chicks in there for about 3 or 4 days. They came in different times before the event that weekend. They started coming on Monday, and we got some Monday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. But lo and behold, we had about 700 baby chicks, and I got a picture of my wife Jen sitting Indian style inside the brooder with 700 baby chicks, and we were actually dipping their beaks in the waterer and in the feeder just to let them know, hey, this is feed, this is water. One dip in the water, one dip in the feed, and then go at it. And then just to let them know what it is, show them what it is, show them where it is in the brooder, and then they roll and they go for it after that. So, again, have I done it opposite? Yeah, Bluegrass Mama, yep, we've already given that. You're late again. I got to pick on her. She's a neighbor for the most part. But, yep, we already gave away the Hen Saver. We did it kind of first. If you didn't know Bluegrass Mama, we were having a hard time getting in touch with Peter Brown today, I'm sad to say. And so I'm still a little concerned about what's going on with Peter. We'll try to, again, make contact after the show. But, yes, so what we did for time, while we thought he may have been tied up for something, that we did not, so we didn't have too much dead air time while I was making phone calls trying to get Peter on, but we did actually give away the Hen Saver already. In fact, Allison out in Texas won that. And if again, I guess, Peter, we can not expect him on today. We're talking about brooding for the topic today in lieu of internal parasites with Peter Brown. But he'll be on, and hopefully we'll bring him back on next Monday. But, yeah, we've already given that prize away, and we normally have two prizes because we have a prize given away from Peter with the riddle that I read earlier. So no big problem there. So, but yeah, we're kind of sticklers about dipping the beaks. I've done it both ways, but we still, most of the time, probably 99% of the time, will dip their beak in the water in the feed just to let them know exactly what it is, where it is. And then again, if you want to use that burlap bag tip, after about a day, maybe 2 days, you can remove that burlap bag. By then, they'll know what's food and what's shavings. And then, everything should be fine from then on out. So no problem there. Okay, let's talk a little bit about pasty butt. Really, for about the first 3 weeks. Well, first, what is pasty butt? We call pasty butt, okay, and it's a great picture of pasty butt in my book, The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, that we got actually from one of our little chicks. So we actually took that picture here, actually up in Atlanta, when we were on our little micro homestead. But it's just basically a collection of chicken or baby chick little poop that kind of sticks on and around the vent area. The vent, of course, if you didn't know, is where the poopy comes out and, of course, where the eggs come out and everything else comes out. So, but basically, it can be deadly to your baby chicks. If you don't watch this, and I recommend watching it daily to check to see if any of your baby chicks have pasty butt, because what happens is they have an issue and the poop starts to accumulate there around the vent, and eventually it will stop up the vent, and then they get stopped up, and then that will kill your baby chick. Very serious. Baby chicks can die from pasty butt. The good news is not all your chicks are going to have it. There's no rhyme or reason to which chicks will in most cases. If you order 100 chicks, you might have 7, 8, 9, 10 that have pasty butt, and the rest are perfectly fine. I will tell you, though, what I've noticed over the years, that if you have a chick with pasty butt today, watch them, because that same chick will probably have pasty butt tomorrow and the next day and the next day. But if you have a chick that doesn't have pasty butt today, they probably will not have it tomorrow. It's just really interesting how that works. And to be honest, I can't tell you rhyme or reason why which chicks get pasty butt and which chicks don't, or why if you have one today with it, that same chick will probably have it tomorrow or the next day. The good news is they normally grow out of it. Broody hen will take care of that if they have the pasty butt. You can check it out when you're out there. Let's see. There you go. I want to say hello to Andreas. He's listening over in Norway. Can you spell it, CW, so I can translate? And I just wrote it in there, pasty butt, P-A-S-T-Y-B-U-T-T, pasty butt is what it's kind of called on the street. So you want to you need to take care of that. Now, a new tip that I found, but for years, I'll get a little cup of water, warm water, because it's more comfortable for the bird, you know, warm water, and I'll get a paper towel. I'll moist the paper towel with that warm water, go sit there next to the brooder, and just identify the chicks that may have pasty butt, and then start caring for it. Just starting to moisten that hardened poo that's around the vent, and you may actually have to start picking it off a little bit. Be very careful not to peel off any skin, because it can happen, but you just want to be very careful, moisten it, and then try to peel it off a little bit. But that warm water on the paper towel to remove that dried poo from the chicken's vent area is very important. That can cause death if you're not careful and you don't catch that in a timely manner. Here's another. Ready for this tip? Ready for this? Okay, many of you, some don't, but many of you use those egg wipes. And there's a couple of, maybe even three different manufacturers now of egg wipes or egg cleaning wipes that you use. Many of them are all natural, okay? And I know a lot of people that actually use those egg wipes to clean the pasty butt. How about that? There you go. So a new tip for that jar of egg wipes that you may buy. Many of you like them. I know, for example, the ones that Mana Pro carries, they're biodegradable. So if you go out to the coop, you get your eggs, if you're cleaning them there, maybe you have that thing in your little chicken coop toolbox, because you can throw them away right in the compost bin as you're coming back inside to the house, keep them out of the landfill. But I know a lot of people now are using those egg wipes for pasty butt. So there you go. If you already have the egg wipes hanging around, instead of having to get a cup of water and getting the paper towel, hey, just pull out one of those moistened egg wipes or egg cleaning wipes that you've already got there. Now, it may not be very warm for the little chick's pasty butt, but that's something that you can have to maybe warm, set them in the sun for a few minutes before you go do the pasty butt. So just a tip for you, if you're already using those, those could be great using for your pasty butt chick. So, yep, you're exactly right, Career Lover. Impaction can cause death in humans too. I know you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Many people take that for granted. So there you go. So we talked a little bit about the pasty butt that you may have with your chickens. So how long are they going to have to be in this brooder? Okay, first off, I get lots of questions. Can I still, even though they're not feathered out, can I still go outside with them and have fun, let them scratch around? Absolutely. You know, if it's April, it's around Easter, you just ordered your baby chicks, maybe you just got them, and it's, 75, 80 degrees outside, depending on where you're at, 65 degrees, supervised visits outside, perfectly fine. Watch your dogs, watch your own cats. If it's a new pet, they may not be comfortable or familiar with them yet. You got to watch that. But if it's just you and your baby chicks, supervised time outside, absolutely wonderful and fine. Get them out there. They'll be scratching around and looking around for different things, and absolutely get them out there. They will absolutely love that, no problem at all. When will they be ready to go outside? Well, a lot of people actually kind of transfer them gradually. They may, at one point, maybe they have a smaller coop or maybe a grow-out pen, for example, where, after about 6 weeks, your chickens are just about really to outgrow that brooder that you got, that 45-gallon brooder, and they're just ready. They're already starting to fly. They're flying on top of the waterer. Then they're flying from the waterer to the edge. That's why you may have to add netting to your brooder. Any type of wire or netting to add to the top of the brooder, because probably after about 10 or 12 days, those baby chicks, guess what? They're going to be flying up on top of the waterer, and then they'll fly from the waterer over to the edge of the brooder, and the next thing you know, they'll fly out of the brooder and be pooping all over your floor. So some type of poultry netting over the top of that. Maybe you can get some wire to bend over it to keep those baby chicks in from flying out. Another trick of the trade is you can go to the dollar store, and you can buy some $1 plastic funnels, and you can just kind of either super glue those or hot glue those or tape those to the top of the waterer and the feeder, and that will eliminate those baby chicks as they grow from getting on top of the water and the feeder and pooping down them. Everybody who has had baby chicks have experienced that. After about 10, 12, 15 days, they'll start flying up on top of the waterer, and they'll poop, and their poop will run down the side of the water, ultimately into their water, and just more work for you, more cleaning for you. A $1 plastic funnel from the dollar store. Hot glue that sucker on the top of your water and your feeder. It's going to eliminate those baby chicks from getting up there. Or a cheaper way, you already have it around, you can get some of that same kind of cardboard or that poster board. You can cut it and then kind of make a funnel out of it by rolling it a certain way. And then you can tape, or you can even Velcro. We have Velcroed that before on top of our waters and feeders to prevent the baby birds from getting up there and pooping down the water and the feeder. So a funnel, hot glue to the top of that will work just perfectly fine. No problems whatsoever with that. So I like the one-gallon water and the quart feeder for the brooder and for guardian. So as far as getting outside, again, absolutely get those little chicks outside as soon as possible. Let them run around, start foraging, scratching out there in the grass. It'll be fun for you and your family, and the birds will love it as well. Now, as far as getting outside permanently, some people will gradually do that. During the day, they may have a grow-out pen. They may even have a smaller coop with a run, with completely secure, and they're comfortable letting the chicks out during the day. They'll wake up, they'll go out there, they'll take the chicks out of the brooder, they'll put them in a grow-out pen outside. They'll be out there all day. Just make sure it's safe from predators. And then they'll bring them in at night, put them back in the brooder with a little heat source, or if it's in a temperature-controlled room, as they completely feather out. And depending on what time of the year it is, some people like to raise birds, believe it or not, and chicks in the middle of winter. Some wait till summer, fall. I mean, you can do it year-round, so it depends on the outside temperature regarding that. So just keep that in mind. And then once they're pretty much feathered out, if you've got a secure place for them, they're ready to roll outside, and they will absolutely love it. Now, if you already have a coop and you want to incorporate maybe a few new birds you get this year, that's a totally different topic. But I'm just going to tell you, and we've talked about it before, you want to do that very slowly. Incorporate those birds. I always recommend, if at all possible, don't combine your birds until they're all about the same size, because the bigger birds will pick on the smaller birds, I guarantee you. So just incorporate them slowly. That's another show. But you want to do that very slowly so they can get used to each other. Put them in the pen next door, let them out in free range a little bit during the day together, and then kind of separate them back at night. And then maybe at one night you can just all of a sudden put them all, kind of gather them all back into the same pen, and then they'll wake up kind of all together, and then they'll have to go start going through that pecking order, which they will go through, and you will see how that happens. So there's no real guideline on temperature. People often ask me, my chicks are 10 weeks old. Can they go outside? It's going to get down to 45 today or tonight. Is that safe for them? Things like that. I'm going to let you in on a little story. It's just a personal story I like to share with people regarding 10 years or a decade or so of doing this a lot. And I remember this because all the numbers seem to end up being the same. It's probably the only reason why I can remember this. When I wrap up this story, we'll go to commercial, and we'll come back and we'll finish up about brooding. But and of course, we still have the secret password to announce today. So no problems there. But back, I guess it was 2000. I want to say it may have been 2007, and when we got our Isa Browns. In fact, we interviewed the geneticist of and the developer of the Isa Brown when we were up at the International Poultry Expo. But we had 13. We had 12 pullets and a cockerel. We had 13 of them. It got down to 13 degrees, and they did absolutely fine. And guess what they were in? We had a little grow-out pen. And we had a large breed plastic doghouse with no door on it. And they did absolutely fine. I added a little bit of extra hay to the bottom of the doghouse. And they did absolutely fine. So 13 week-old pullets, one rooster, one cockerel, and it got down to 13 degrees about three nights in a row. They did perfectly fine, just like they have for the last 8,000 years. So they were in there. They were cuddling, no problem at all. They were happy as all get out to be outside and out of that little brooder, and they did absolutely fine. So I share that story just to give you some experience I've had. 13-week-old pullets, 13 degrees, three nights in a row. Did fabulous. They were the best birds. Oh, my goodness. Best layers, big brown eggs, beautiful, great disposition. Can't brag about the Isa Browns too much. We just really, it's one of our favorite breeds. Though they're not a heritage breed, we love the heritage breeds. But, man, biggest eggs, best layers throughout the winter. They were absolutely fabulous. So we're going to take a little commercial break here. And, again, if you're just tuning in, I apologize. You probably are just tuning in saying, hey, where's Peter Brown? That doesn't sound like Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply. Nope, it's not. It's me, Chicken Whisperer. And I'm a little concerned and a little worried. Again, after the show, I'll continue to try to get in touch with our good friend Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, to see where he may be or why he wasn't on today. It's not unlike him at all. Very unlike the doctor not to be a no-show, especially even last night. Yesterday afternoon, he sent me an email about today's show and about today's riddle. So I'm not really sure what's going on. I am a little concerned, if I do say so, and I'll try to pinpoint and find out what's going on and let you all know on Facebook, because I know all of y'all are concerned as well. So we just decided to take a topic. We've already given away our prize today from Crazy K Farm. We gave away the Hen Saver to Allison out in Texas. And we decided to start talking about brooding since 'tis the season, just sharing a lot of information that you can find in my book, The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, that, of course, you can find on Amazon. And the price has been reduced another, I think, 9 cents. I believe it's $11.99 now at Amazon if you buy it. And then meet us on the road somewhere, because we do travel all over the country and do and broadcast the radio show as well as do chicken workshops. Bring it out. We can get your picture taken with you, and of course, I'll autograph that for you as well. So, again, thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, and we will return after this short commercial break. Thanks for tuning in today.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
And you can find all the great Ware products here. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Since 1921, Stromberg's has been a family-owned and operated business, providing quality poultry and poultry supplies to their customers. Today, the Stromberg family offers over 200 different breeds of poultry, including chickens, waterfowl, and game birds. They also offer poultry supplies for the beginner or advanced poultry keeper. Stromberg should be on the top of your list when it comes time to order. Shop online at www.strombergschickens.com or call today at 1-800-720-1134. Remember, that's strombergschickens.com.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom-labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Again, like I said, if you were just tuning in or tuning on the show, I appreciate you doing so. And you probably were looking for, because it's Monday, Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply. But I'm a little concerned. He is he was a no-show today, basically. And I even, again, got an email yesterday afternoon from him regarding today's riddle, disease riddle that we were going to have. And today's topic about continuing about internal parasites. So I guess we'll either maybe continue next Monday with internal parasites, and we'll just I just tried to call him again. People are in the chat room, because all of our longtime regular listeners are like, oh, Peter Brown, oh my gosh, I hope everything's okay, and maybe he needs bail, maybe he's in jail, or who knows. But I am a little concerned. This is not like him at all. So I just tried him again, just get his voicemail. And so I will definitely keep you all up to date throughout the day when I hear from him and let you know what's going on and what happened and why he wasn't here. But nonetheless, it was fine. We did just fine talking about brooding. And if you'll give me just 1 second, give me just a second, and I'll be right back. There'll be some dead air time. And let's see. Possibly Mike could call Peter's daughter, Poet's wife. Give me just a second, though, because I've got to do one more thing regarding the show, but I have to go get that. So hang on just 1 second, folks. I apologize. Okay, sorry about the dead air time. Just had to go do something here real quick. So let's see. Oh, goodness, love the chat room. Y'all keep me laughing. We had such a great time. So I appreciate you appreciating the chat room, and I appreciate all the guests if you're a first-time listener. Again, sorry if you're a first-time listener, and you know, still got some great information, I think. But it was it just caught me a little off guard when you're unprepared and you had a guest who's like clockwork all of a sudden, who's a no-show. You just kind of roll with the punches, and that's what we did today. Plus, after the show, I'm very excited. I got to go out and harvest a little bit of produce from the back 40 and take it into Piggly Wiggly. I'm really excited about that. Many of you follow on our Facebook page, and I talked with them over the weekend, and they are very interested in purchasing produce from my garden throughout the year. So I'm very, very very, very excited about that. So I've got to actually, work is never done, head out and harvest some things for Piggly Wiggly that I'll be taking in there. And I'll let you update you all on update you all on that when we get that done. So no problem whatsoever. Let me see what we've got here. Ah, here we go. Today's secret password is compost. Today's secret password is compost. There you have it, folks. And, of course, we'll be posting that on our Facebook page just a little bit later in the day. Follow us on Facebook. We have a lot of great Facebook fan contests as well. And, of course, we give a prize, at least one prize, every day here on the radio show from our great sponsors. And every Friday... Every Friday, it's nothing but prizes. We have chicken trivia or some type of related trivia every single Friday for the entire show. And it's just question after question after contest, and we give prizes away every single fun Friday. So we do hope you can tune in on Fridays. Also, this show is archived on blogtalkradio.com, zoom.com, podcast.com, and iTunes.com. In fact, we are regularly in the top 10 on iTunes. In fact, we've had 4 shows in 1 week be in the top 25 of iTunes, and I even posted a picture, a clip that I did from iTunes where we were number 3. That was just maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We climbed all the way up to number 3 on iTunes with our podcast, so we're very, very thankful for all of our thousands of listeners out there. We appreciate you for tuning in, whether you can listen live, whether you can chat live, whether you can listen to the archive at one of the places I named just a few minutes ago. We appreciate all of our listeners, and we appreciate you helping out our sponsors that sponsor this show when you can. We do appreciate that. So I guess we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. We can normally go until 2 o'clock. The official show time is 12 to 1:30, however. I've got about 1:35, so we'll go ahead and wrap it up. And I promise you, I give you my word, that I will continue to try to make contact with Peter Brown, again, also known as the Chicken Doctor, to see what's going on with him. I am, again, you can probably tell, a little concerned, and hope his health is well and everything is okay. So I will promise, you got my word, as soon as I hear and get an update about Peter Brown, I will let you know on our Facebook page. I promise I'll do that, because our longtime listeners that love, and we have listeners that tune in just specifically on Mondays to get his information and his knowledge. And so I know you're concerned as well as I am, so I promise you I'll keep you updated. As soon as I hear from him, I will let everybody know what is going on and update you on that. So we appreciate that. And I appreciate you listening in as well on behalf of myself, Andy Schneider, the Chicken Whisperer, my co-host, author Pat Foreman, and of course Peter Brown, and all of our regularly scheduled guests, and all, of course, on behalf of iTunes and Blog Talk Radio that carry this show live and archived. We appreciate you from tuning in. It is Monday, I know, but like I said, you turn in here, tune in every day Monday at noon, or every day at 12, and you'll have some laughs, you'll have some giggles, you'll learn a lot about homesteading, living a self-sustaining lifestyle, chickens, backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, and Friday will be here before you even know it. Fun, fun Friday will be here. So, hey, tune in tomorrow. The Heritage Chef, Steve Pope, you love him. You love his recipes. He'll be talking about, I'm sure, some type of heritage cooking tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss it. Reminder, I'll be on the road Wednesday, so no show this Wednesday, but we'll return Thursday with Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, and on the Friday with another awesome Fun Friday. I'm going to try to get that Fun Friday. I'll be on the road again Friday as well, but I'm still going to try to do some sort of Fun Friday on Friday with everybody, because I know how much you love it. So I appreciate you staying with us today. Again, I apologize about, I guess, the technical issues, but I will keep you up to date on the situation if I get in touch with Peter Brown. So again, I appreciate you. Hanging in there with me. And I hope you have a wonderful and fabulous day. And thank you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great day, everybody. Oh.